Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. This is Zainab, and today we're going to discuss something very important with Professor Naqavi. Professor Naqavi is a faculty member at Al-Mustafa University. Dear listeners, in this program, we try to answer your questions and issues that you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations from Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him and his purified progeny. Well, Professor Naqavi, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Well, Professor Naqavi, in our previous episode, we said that parents, when standing in front of their children, especially of opposite gender, they need to be very modest in terms of their clothing especially. But you actually expanded this point. You said it's not just clothing. It's the way you walk, the way you talk, your tones, your everything should be very, very modest. Even if it's your mahrams, even if it's your children, or even if it's your parents who are from opposite gender. We got to take care of modesty in each and everything. Well, there's one thing that parents often do in front of their children is that they make jokes. They talk everything casual, whatever they want to, because home is like home. They feel it's home, it's safe, it's free, and they try to be more casual. But is it important to take care of the conversations in front of your children?
Certainly. I mean, as far as the content goes, it should be, again, maintaining the respect and dignity of human beings themselves, those who are conversing, who are speaking, and also the person whom they are talking to. Of course. But that should not be, of course, at the expense of the casual way that you're mentioning. You can't have a discussion in the household just as you're having a discussion at the office. It's not going to be an office meeting, is it? It has to be casual. It has to be, it should be in a very lighter mode. It doesn't have to be some sort of meeting or discussion which you just where you are just trying to inform or try to teach even your children or your spouse about what has to be done. It should not be some formal type of education. It should be very informal. It should be very in a lighter mood, in a lighter tone. But it should not, of course, cross certain boundaries.
So there are boundaries.
Of course. I mean, the words that you use and employ should not be words which are used by lower levels of society. Slang words should be avoided. Words which are full of mudslinging, or show dishonor to anyone, abusing anyone, using words, even sometimes name calling should not be there, because someone is short, we say, oh, shorty,
tall.
I mean, the name calling should not be there. We shouldn't be name calling. We should not be abusing. We should not be backbiting people in front of our children.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be talking badly about others who are not there. So, of course, many things, there are things which can come out of our tongues which create a difficult situation. They are sins in themselves, and they create a very bad impact on our children. So certainly,
in your talks, basically, when you're abusing someone else without any intention of, like, you don't even know does it have impact on your child or not, but it is playing an important part in his upbringing.
Certainly. I mean, if he gets to used to such
terms
and words which are not used in a healthy society, in a society where there's respect and love for each other, unfortunately, we think that if we are using such words, we are showing our closeness and proximity, our love for the other person. If we use abusive words, it's becoming a trend in many places. The more abusive the language you use, we feel that we're more close to each other. We are more
casual. Yeah. We'll discuss more on that topic after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned with us.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. This is IRIB English Radio. I'm Zainab with Professor Naqavi. And we're discussing something very important related to upbringing. Well, Professor Naqavi, we are talking about conversations that have to be managed, that have to be controlled. You said the more we try to be casual, the more we feel actually we are being casual, we never know it's having an impact on our children. It's playing a role in their upbringing and it's shaping them one or the other way.
Exactly. So we need to be able to express our feelings and our thoughts in a very lucid manner, in a very clear manner, avoid using words and terms which are not appropriate. And certainly children, especially small children, they can't cope up with abstract issues. They cannot cope up with generalizations. They need vivid examples. So you should be good at storytelling.
Okay.
Open truths, talk about personalities, relate to them, your own experiences or the experiences of your parents or the good experiences of your members of society who can become role models for their children. So we need to talk about, we need to express our ideas in forms which are concrete. I mean, when you listen to someone on the pulpit and he is talking about very dry issues, nobody's listening. But the moment he starts expressing or talking about the story of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam in the Quran, it becomes a very lively event.
Okay.
So why are our children attracted towards
animation
and whatever? So if we want to, either we're not good at it, then we need to show them animations and pictures and films which are talking about such things. But unfortunately, the number of such films is lesser than the films that are of another nature. So we need to be good at expressing our own experiences or the experiences of the positive experiences of others, relate to our children, talk about history, talk about culture, give them an expansive view of what's happening in life today, innovations, the world today, what's happening today, innovations upon innovations. I mean, talk about the future. How do we want this future to be like? You should be talking about values and ideals, but in forms which are the children can understand. They have to be, like you see what the Quran does, it talks about the holy prophets, it talks about very beautiful...
The history,
gives role models, relates the story, and within the story, the model is also given.
Exactly, indeed.
So this
in
is
fact,
how
in
we...
In fact, in every surah, there's kind of a disease is mentioned and the cure is also mentioned.
So if we want, for example, at bedtime, if our children are used to bedtime stories, before they go off to sleep, they listen to a good story about the Holy Prophet or the Imams or the Prophets and then goes to sleep, that would give him a very beautiful
relief
and he would be dreaming about these things.
Exactly. Because psychology also proves that Whatever the way, whatever you have been thinking throughout the day, or whatever you have been doing before sleep, that's something you usually see at night. We'll discuss more on the topic after a short break. The listeners, stay tuned with us.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "A righteous child is indeed a flower from the flowers of paradise."
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات.
Welcome back. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. This is IRIB English Radio. I'm Zainab with Professor Naqavi. One of the beautiful things that your conversation is reminding me of is the beautiful poems that Lady Fatima Zahra Salamaliha used to recite for Imam Hassan Alisa. So whenever she used to first of all call Imam Ali Alisa, she would call him with beautiful names. She would often call him with Ya Abul Hassan. And the most respected and the most beautiful names, which also show respect plus closeness. But today, we are trying to use the names, the very short, or for example, if there's some big name, we try to cut it short, or we try to actually dissect it one or the other way, trying to show our casualness, and that casualness somewhere gets disrespect. But we have to learn from Lady Fatima, who is giving respect as well as expressing her closeness. Especially in her poems with her children, she's teaching Imam Hassan al-Islam that, "Oh Hassan, we like your father," in her poems. So that's so beautiful. She's taking care of a child, and at the same time, she's taking care of her husband, and she's expressing love for him.
Yes, that's very good. So, I mean, as I said, we should be able to communicate, and we should learn to communicate. So the learning is coming together with the managing of the children. Again, it's not just speaking out properly, it's also being a good listener. You should be able to listen to what your child is saying. From the very beginning, from early childhood, even when he goes to school, for example, he goes out with his friends, he should be taught to relate to you what he has experienced.
Indeed.
At school. So that has two positive aspects. One aspect is that he is capable. You know what's happening in the day, what's he doing, what's he up to. And he relates to you, he confides in you, you become his friend, and then you mildly point out anything which may have need to be rectified or corrected in a very subtle manner. And again, the important thing is that a child would learn how to evaluate what he's been doing in the daytime. So because one of the things which have been stressed upon and emphasized as Muslims for us is that before we go to sleep, we should be able to evaluate what we've been doing in the daytime and to, you know, make a resolve that we won't be repeating those mistakes which we have done in the day, for example. Or we have set for ourselves targets to achieve in the day. So we need to be able to carry out the accountability before going to sleep. So if a child is taught to relate to the parent before going off to sleep, what's been happening all the day. So in the future, when he becomes a grown-up, he knows how to, you know, carry out that that muhasabatun nafs, which is very important. And we have traditions which emphasize the fact that anyone who does not carry out that accountability every day is not amongst us.
Yeah.
So to be a true follower of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, we need to set for ourselves targets and objectives, and need to be able to evaluate them.
Exactly. Professor, you said a very beautiful quote in our previous episodes while this accountability also came. And I want you to repeat that for our listeners.
The PDCA?
Yeah.
So we need to plan. We need to carry the things out. Plan, do, check, and adjust. And I relate this with the terminology which was used by our sages previously in Arabic. They used to say, musharata, you should condition yourself.
Yeah.
You should make conditions with yourself that today or tomorrow I'm going to carry out this.
Yeah.
I need to, this is my tomorrow's, my weekly objectives are such. So that's conditioning ourselves and planning and conditioning ourselves for carrying out a day or a week or a month or a year. And then muraqaba, we have to be very attentive to the fact when we are carrying that thing out.
Yeah,
that is very important. Whatever we do with attention, with sincerity, with the sincerity of purpose and action. Muraqaba is from raqib. Raqib is to someone is watching upon us. We should be always aware of the fact that Allah Almighty is watching upon us.
Is all aware, all watching.
Then checking is muhasaba, accountability. And then adjusting, mu'ataba, repenting and making amends to things which we have done wrong.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Professor, for coming and sharing such beautiful things with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest.